former Nebraska player, Kirill Buchalter, in on this defrauding of the NFL, helping out the old players fund. We'll get into that after a little bit here. I got to process this. C-Buck's a good dude. I like that dude a lot. It's like, bro, what are we doing here? Like, come on, man. Work with me. Well, guy that's always willing to work with us and helps me out with a lot of stuff, correct pronunciation. We've also my insider on the basketball stuff. Jacob Badia joins us here on the Gary Sharp Show. JP, how are we?
I'm doing pretty well, Bert. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you for coming on. It's season time. I mean, Nebraska basketball moving along down the road. If we look through this, you know, we've got the non-con part of the schedule over, got pummeled by Creighton, and now we're on to conference play and a team that looked really good the other night in Indiana. But what are you feeling here for Nebraska as it starts Big Ten play, Jacob?
Yeah, this is a tough way to dive into the early part of the Big Ten play. You got two really big teams, and that is something that Nebraska is going to struggle with this year. So Indiana's got a huge front line. They go 6'8", 6'9", 6'11", in the starting lineup. You got another big guy or two coming off the bench. They're really efficient inside the arc. You got a freshman there, kind of five-star kid, one of the best recruits in the conference, and Trace Jackson Davis. And he's been their best player so far this season. So there's a lot of things that they're going to have to fix heading into conference play if they want to be able to compete right now. Because one of the big things that I'm seeing is throughout the non-conference, they just didn't get enough easy points. Mm-hmm. They're not shooting well enough at the rim. And then obviously the free throws, because the three-point shooting has been up and down. It's kind of been whatever it is. At the end, it's not been awful. But like, if you're not finishing at the rim for a team with like three or four guys, that's what they do well, is get to the basket. And you can't hit the free throws even when you get fouled on those takes. You're going to have a tough time keeping up with teams, because you know most of the time Nebraska is going to have fewer possessions than the other team just based on the rebounding woes.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, if I look at that then, right, so if I name three what I think are issues with Nebraska right now, I'm going to use two of yours. So inability to create easy offense, free throw struggles, which where they're at, you can't be as bad as you are at the free throw line. You have to take advantage of all that, and then defense. I was going to put those in order for you, right? If I was going to have you rank those, what is the most important to fix immediately?
I'll go with the defense, simply because some of the others, I think, like the rebounding issue, there's some effort things with that, certainly, but there are also some other things that they're just not going to be able to change just based on their roster. Mm-hmm. And the free throw issues, again, it's a lot of it's mental, but at the same time, a lot of the guys that are taking most of your shots, they weren't good free throw shooters previously. They weren't as bad as they've been now. But guys like Cam Mack and Gervais Green and Deshaun Burke, these guys haven't been great free throw shooters throughout their basketball career so far that we've seen. So, like, that's somewhat, I think it's all kind of magnified and multiplied and gotten worse. But at a certain point, like, it just comes down to they're not great shooters. So defensively, we've seen stretches where these guys are all over the place and they're forcing turnovers and they're scrapping. But too often, we just see long stretches where it's just not there, or guys either fall asleep and get back cut, or you're way slow to close out to a shooter, or you close out but don't get your hand up. And they just give up too many open looks right now because the defensive effort isn't there consistently. So I'll put that one number one, just based on it's something that I think they can improve on, and it's certainly something that they need to improve on, because they've shown the capability to defend at stretches, like I said.
Yeah, if you can extend those stretches out for a full game, Jacob, and I know it's not going to be an overnight thing. My goal for Nebraska basketball by the end of the year is to be annoying, like to be when you get to the back half of your last 6-8 games, whatever that may be, that you're not a doormat. Like, it isn't going to be a 30-point game. It's going to be an 8-point game. It's going to be, you know, a 4-point game, and the free throws happen, and you lose by 10. Like, I want them to be a problem for people. And I'm not naive enough to say, oh, yeah, they're going to win this game. I just want them to be an annoyance. And I think the defensive part of that, if they play great defense against Indiana, if they're just in the face and you're rotating a bunch of guys in and you're just annoying, What do you think is a realistic like outcome for that game? Can they keep this game within double digits of Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. It's going to be tough. You look at Indiana, what they've done. They just were in a rock fight with UConn, though, and UConn's not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe an NIT type of team this year. So it's certainly possible if they can, like you said, be annoying defensively and make things tough on all the guys outside of Jackson Davis. Like if you don't get a whole lot of points out of the backcourt, if you can really put on the pressure on some of those guys and try to keep those guys in check. They've got a point guard back now. Rob Finney played a limited role last time, but he's not back full strength. They only played like 12, 13 minutes or whatever in their last game. So Indiana is a team that they're going to be really efficient if you kind of let them do what they do. So I think the key is just kind of, like I said, turning up the pressure on that backcourt and not letting them get the ball inside so easily. Maybe you can force some turnovers here, and they haven't been the most ball secure team this season. So I think that's kind of what you're going to have to do is, like you said, be annoying, get up in their face, and make them make tough decisions and not kind of play their style of basketball.
Do they have the guys that are intimidating enough to do that? You know, you can be the annoyance, but without being intimidating enough to do it, sometimes the guy with the ball is like, okay, this is cute, but watch this. Bam. Score.
Yeah. Well, guys like Armond Gates, assistant coach, kind of went on the Husker Hoops show on the Husker Sports Network this week and Sports Nightly, and talked about Deshaun Burke and kind of, he's a guy that you can see he's a guy that can really do that kind of that pressure. He's long, 6'4", got long arms, can move his feet pretty well. At times he'll try to do too much and get in the gambling mode, and that's kind of what hurts them. So if he can kind of just buy into consistently being that kind of that pest on the ball and move his feet and kind of stick with it as opposed to just going for the steal and then kind of gambling and giving up the drive if you don't get it. Like, if you got a guy like him, like Hanif Cheatham is pretty stout defensively. He's got some good size at the guard position. Gervay Green is a strong kid. He can battle defensively. Like, they've got some guys that can match up on the perimeter depending on who they're facing. It's just got to be consistent effort. And Cam Mack, certainly at the point of attack, has to improve. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to say. So, offensively, right? What's Nebraska's best bet? I've started to watch with the help of Nick Baugh, you know, putting some stuff out there on the internet. The intricacies of Hoiberg's offense is they ran the one cross screen at the elbows, back cut, the oop-doop didn't execute, but you can see kind of the offensive mind of Fred Hoiberg in this with the talent that he has. What's Nebraska's best bet tonight offensively to just get points on the board to try to make this, you know, a close game with Indiana?
Yeah. Like I said, they've got to be able to get those easy buckets. This is against Creighton. You saw in the first half that the Jays had a good defensive game plan and kind of took Nebraska out of what it wanted to do early. And then Nebraska kind of just fell apart and panicked and started taking really bad shots. In the second half, they came back out, they settled down, and they really got to the rim. They shot with like 60-70% in the second half. They didn't get any stops, so they didn't dig into it either. But like offensively, they kind of, they did some better things in the second half, and that's kind of what you need. You've got with Cheatham and Mack and Burke, all these guys can really get to the rim. So if they can do that and actually finish better than they have, like all three of the, like Cheatham's finishing really well, but he's a guy that is kind of more an advantage scorer. He's not one that you're going to give the ball to and then ask him to go create his own shot. He's more of a cutter, a driver off the swing in transition type of guy. So outside of the transition, you just have to have Burke and Mack in particular. When they're creating opportunities, the guys have to finish, whether it's them finishing their own layups or if it's guys like Ivan Wojdrago finishing on the dump off. They've got to be able to get those easy points at the rim because, you know, Indiana's going to finish those same opportunities on the other end. So that's your best bet. They've just got to take contact. They've got to be on balance when they go to the basket, and they've got to be able to finish.
Jacob, if I gave you 1 to 10, 1, Jacob Padilla joins us here on the Gary Sharp Show. If I gave you 1 to 10, 1, not a very cohesive team, 10, those guys are in lockstep. What do you think Nebraska is right now as far as, like, that team cohesion? I know it's hard to build. They got 13 new dudes on the roster. it's going to take time. But where would you rate them right now? Sometimes to me it seems like it gets a little individualistic when it kind of gets a little rough during the game.
Yeah, I'd separate between on-court and off-court. It seems like the guys are really pretty close off the court. But then, like you mentioned, on the court, it's maybe a four, something like that. Because you saw in that Creighton game where things weren't going well early, and then guys just said, all right, I'm just firing up the shot here instead of kind of sticking with it and trying to make stuff work. And then the turnovers against Georgia Tech you saw where they were running that zone and they weren't getting some good looks early. So guys were like, all right, I'm just going to take this myself, and ended up turning the ball over three, four, five times just trying to drive into where there are too many guys. So right now, like you mentioned, there's so many new guys and they're adjusting to a new coach and kind of figuring all this stuff out. And so when things get tough, like Hoiberg's been talking about basically every time he's talked since the summer, is adversity and handling that and sticking together through that. And it's all good and well to say that, like, in the moment or when you're not in the moment, but when he gets out there and guys are in, you're really getting frustrated, and especially when you see some of your teammates kind of not taking care of business, and you're like, all right, I got to do this on my own, and then you can't finish yourself, and all those things kind of spiral together and gives us some of the results we've seen this year. So that's just going to take time. It's going to take, I think, them actually pulling out some of these games or coming together in a big moment and saying, hey, this is what we need to do, this is how it will work. And they really haven't had that moment yet this year.
In that being said, Jacob, like who you know, I always find it interesting to comment their teammates aren't doing what they're supposed to do. That's a choice, because I know their coach to do, you know, what's inside of the scheme, what it is. Who has to, or who could emerge as the hammer during the game to be like, hey, will you just run this play as it's designed? I'm tired of you doing it your way. Like, this is the offense. Run the MFing offense, please.
Yeah, and that's the question. Like, ideally, that's your point guard, mm-hmm. and that's what you want to see. But Cam Mack is a sophomore who came out of junior college. We've already seen he's come off the bench twice. We've learned after the last one is because he was a minute late to the bus. So ideally, that's the kind of guy that you would want to do that. But I just don't know if he's there at this point in his development and his maturity and all that. Hanif Cheatham has been anointed the leader. But again, like I said, he's not a guy that's going to take control offensively and like settle everybody down. Like, he's just going to do his thing out there on the court. He's a pretty good vocal leader, but kind of in the flow of the game, that's a little bit different. So I don't know if they have that one guy that's going to be able to kind of pull them out of those slumps. And that's why we've seen those struggles become extended, because you don't have that one guy that can, whether it's make a play or settle guys down or all that stuff. That's why we saw with the Hoiberg burn like four or five timeouts in the first 14 minutes of the Creighton game, because he was trying to do that himself and trying to just hammer into these guys what they need to do and how to get through this. And so just kind of with the chemistry, it's something that's just going to take time, and hopefully a couple guys can kind of merge into that role.
Yeah. Jacob, I'll get you out of here on this. Whatever Matty A is getting paid isn't enough, because he's out on the recruiting trail beating. How long before Hoiberg and crew have, you know, what we would call their talent or the guys they want in, like hitting that recruiting trail, getting some of these difference makers into Nebraska to play basketball?
Yeah, see, that's the question. That's kind of what I'm waiting to see, is because we've seen them go out after some big fish, particularly in 2021 class and 2022, and like they have not been shy with the offers. And obviously we know they're going to have to go after some transfers, but I'm still kind of waiting to see where that ceiling for recruiting is for this staff in Nebraska. Because again, the first class here, they just had to put a team together in 2020. They haven't had a whole lot of spots to deal with. So I think 2021 is when we're going to be able to know, I think, hey, this is what they're going to be able to do. Because right now, like, Nebraska is not a program that traditionally you're able to recruit well to. Mm-hmm. But will Fred Hoiberg being here and Matt Abdelmassi being here, will
there
those guys change that? Like, what is the ceiling for this program under this coaching staff? And that I just don't know yet. we'll have to see kind of how they finish off this 2020 class and how many of these big targets in 2021 that they're going to be in the final mix for. But I think they've got some guys sitting out right now. Delano Banton was a highly touted prospect coming out that was kind of up and down freshman year at Western Kentucky. Shamil Stevenson is a guy that had a really good freshman year at Pittsburgh that I think could have been a key part of this team had he gotten the waiver that I thought he deserved. So you've got guys like that that are sitting out right now that I think will make a big difference next season. So we've gotten some of that talent, but in terms of just kind of the high school talent, I don't know yet what that picture is ultimately going to look like for Nebraska.
One more last one, because I like doing that. But do you feel Hoiberg has to cultivate some of the crazy talent that is basketball talent that is in the state right now? Like, can he make a living off just securing his own borders for a while? You have amazing basketball players in the state of Nebraska.
That'll certainly be an important part, and we have seen that. Like Hunter Salas right now is right at the top of their board for that 2021 class. It's going to be tough to lure him in, but heck, their whole staff was out at his first game this season. They've already got him down for an official. They're keeping those lanes of communication open. So that's a guy that they're really putting a lot of effort into. And then his teammate, Jason Green, right now Nebraska is the only one that's offered him, but he certainly looks the part, like he's going to be the next kind of big thing coming out of Nebraska in that 2022 class. So there's not enough here where you can make a living off of local kids, but we've got some talent at the top of these classes where if you can get a kid that he could ultimately end up being a really important piece for you moving forward.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see in the building process. You know, I think the patience for Nebraska basketball is going to be much grander than Nebraska football. So it's good to be Fred Hoiberg, and I hope they get this turned around. Like I said, it's be annoying by the end of the year. Might sneak in and get you one, but the future is ahead, duh. But it'll be interesting to see how Coach Hoiberg and staff do that. Jacob Padilla, Hail Varsity, thank you so much for taking some time today, buddy. Really appreciate chatting with you.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you. Yeah, it's that's going to be there. I don't always buy into the football side of the recruiting things. But the basketball piece, but like he's got to get classes like his, and their screening of the mental side of it on the basketball part has to be spot on. Like there can't be misses in those. You got to make sure that everything's in lockstep. And then Freddie, everybody trusts. I know they had somebody just left the other day, but that's going to happen. There's going to be pluses and minuses, and we shall see. It will be interesting for me. I think the theme for the whole Nebraska basketball season is just cover. Whatever Vegas says you should lose by, if you're inside of that number, that's a win. And then if you sneak up and get one or two there somehow, you're way ahead of the schedule. We will take a break. We'll be back with more of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.